It's Tom and Loggy's daily podcast.
Tom and Loggy.
Catch them live weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on K-Rock 955.
Married at First Sight, you were saying earlier, Log, it's next level this year.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And you know what? It's like you just can't look away.
Yeah, you really just cannot look away.
I'm sucked in.
Yep.
Loving it, hating it, all of the above. It's great.
Okay. And last night we had commitment ceremonies and it got a little bit full on.
Yes. This week is going to be even more full on.
Yeah,
they're going on like a couple's retreat. They really know how to make people just lose it this year, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they're pushing a lot of buttons. A man who knows that as well as anybody is Bryce. He joins us now. Good morning, mate.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're good, thanks. Can I start by, my wife has just asked me to ask you, was there not another piece of paper anywhere in the hotel?
So, you won't believe this, but that was actually the fourth book that I was given that night because it took a lot of convincing to let the producers let me do that, actually. They weren't going to let me until about 20 seconds before going to film. So, that was my fourth booklet.
What do you mean, let you do it? As in, you wanted to have leave and cross it out? Okay, why?
Yeah, so it was never my intention to leave Melissa because Melissa obviously made the comment on the couch that she had feelings of falling in love, and I said, I've definitely got feelings, but I'm not at that level just yet. But the behaviour that was happening towards Melissa from Rebecca, I just thought, you know what, this has to be called out, and the rest of the group needs to be aware of it because they were playing a part of it as well, encouraging her to essentially what I describe as bullying Melissa. And like the night before the commitment ceremony, after that dinner party, all I did was witness another human being in tears constantly that night because of what Rebecca was saying to Melissa. And it wasn't just what we saw on the TV. There was other comments that were being made. And you've got to remember too, this has been the whole way through the experiment. We just haven't seen it. So I thought someone's got to call us out for what it is. And you know what? Now it's being called out. You'll see how it sort of goes from here on in this week.
But I don't understand the plan of calling it out by making Melissa feel like an absolute POS.
Yeah, it's a bit of a confusing one. So basically, I knew it was going to potentially hurt her, like more likely than not. But we had a conversation prior to the commitment ceremony that morning when we woke up. And she said, oh, look, I want to leave this experiment. I can't handle it. And I said, okay, so how do we go forward? And we're not supposed to talk about your decision. So you can't say, oh, hey, I'm going to stay or leave. But in the back of my mind, I think that is, okay, if she writes leave, which I think that there is a chance of her writing leave, and I write stay, I'm keeping her in this environment that she doesn't want to be in. So it's not great for her copying this abuse from Rebecca. And look, I don't want to be the reason that she cops another week of it. So I wrote leave. And then as I wrote it, I thought, you know what? If I do leave and we both leave, we've let Rebecca win and her bullying win over us as a couple. So I said, we're going right as a couple, so I'm not going to let the bullying win over and defeat us. So that's why I decided to write stay in the end. And I think that's what people keep forgetting. Yeah, I did write leave and cross it out, but I also did write stay. So there's obviously something towards Melissa.
All right.
Sorry, well, it's kind of confusing, I know, but yeah.
Yeah. Hey, the other thing is that So Dramatic is a podcast that's heavily based with maths and everything, and they've released on their Insta the other day photos of a girl called Courtney. They're saying that it's photos of you two together. Have you seen these photos? I'm sure you would have been if you... You're in the photos. I'm sure you would have seen it.
Yeah.
So basically, they're saying that this is your secret girlfriend and that you saw her whilst filming and then broke up with her 2 weeks before filming ended. So I guess this is what we think on the outside is this is the girl that Becky's talking about. So who is this girl and what do you have to say about these photos?
Yeah, so that is the girl that everyone is talking about at the moment, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm not allowed to have a friend. So we've been friends. We met, as I said, through Tinder before the experiment. Then I actually realised after getting to know her a few weeks that she had a lot of mutual friends that I worked with at the radio station in Canberra. So Canberra's not the biggest of places in the country. We all know that. And a small guest regional area knows everyone around there. So just same circle of friends. And That's all there is to it. We were never in a relationship, never dating. We all thought, I said on the commitment ceremony, so there's no secret about that. But prior to the experiment, that had all ended. And look, we were friends, but obviously she's going through a very tough time being unfairly brought into this show that she didn't sign up for. And yeah, look, unfortunately, she's struggling with some stuff at the moment, because everyone keeps talking about her in this negative light and calling her a homewrecker, but she definitely isn't, because there was no relationship there. So this is a dramatic podcast that keeps going on about it. Look, I wouldn't trust that girl that runs the podcast. She reached out to all of us, particularly me, before the show, and because I wouldn't play her game, she's turned on me. So look, I think she'll get what's coming her way after the show's done.
Wow.
I haven't seen anything said bad about Courtney.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just say that as well.
Oh,
like,
I certainly have.
Yeah. But it's intense, Bryce. I mean, it's like, is this the maths experience that you wanted, that you thought? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on for you, man.
No, it's not. I actually thought I'd just go in there and be able to focus on meeting someone I was matched with. And you'll see the remaining couple of weeks that's left of the show is purely the focus is there. You'll see a lot of me walking out of things because I just have no, I guess, care to things that are happening around me and people trying to influence things. And look, there's a lot of me walking out and people say, oh, that's weak. But look, I think when you're in the situation we were in, you leave a toxic environment, I should say. So, it's just the way it works out for us, unfortunately.
It seems like you have learnt across the season to start kind of removing yourself from situations rather than snapping. But look, mate, we got to let you go. But I'm very interested to see how this week unfolds. A little birdie tells me that there's some more fireworks, weirdly. But hey, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, you too. That's Bryce, Married at First Sight, back on your telly tonight, Channel 9, 7:30 p.m.
Tom and Log. Tom and Loggy's podcast, K-Rock 955.
With Brad Johnson, you've got an eye test today, you were saying before.
I have. My first ever eye test.
Do they
Specsavers in Westfield.
They know. I've been there before for fun. They're great.
My next door neighbour, Colin, who owns Specsavers. So yeah. I've said a few times over the last 6 months, I need to come and see you.
Yeah.
So I saw him out the front the other day and I went over and I locked it in.
Yeah.
So here we go this morning. We'll see how we go. I don't know. I've got a looking glass if I need glasses.
The great thing is you are so competitive. I can imagine you in the chair. N-P-T.
Get it.
I may have trialled myself on the old letters.
Done a test,
and
run,
I think I'm still. I can still read the bottom line, but just a little bit. Just feeling a bit tired in the eyes recently. Maybe
you're
in
have
front
to
of the
relax
computer more
too, because when you smile,
I know,
your whole face,
I lose,
right?
I
you lose
sight.
Eye. So you're gonna have to just not be happy.
Girl squinty. Girl squinty.
My wrinkles just close me
same,
up, don't
I'm
they?
The same.
Amazing. The eye test, now that he knows you're coming, is actually going to be a handball. You handball.
Whether I take it cleanly or not.
Miss the show. Here are the best bits of Tom and Loggie.
Tom and Log
on K-Rock.
Much planned for Easter, Jono?
I'm working. Working Friday, Saturday and Sunday, but that's right. Okay. Actually, Friday night for the Dogs and North Melbourne for the Good Friday appeal, I'm having a kickoff with Brent Harvey at halftime to raise some fun. So that'll be a bit of fun. Just see if I can, you know, put it through the big sticks.
Yeah.
They're making you kick this time rather than trying to take a mark.
Making me kick. The mark was a disaster. So I'm going back in front of the goals and see what we can come up with.
Although, Jono's been competent for
I can just imagine the brainstorm. Yeah, no, don't make him mark, don't make him mark. Don't kick him.
I just feel like sort of saying to Tom at some point, how many games did you play? But I'm just holding that. Back on that.
Settle
one.
Settle down.
I won't say that yet.
I played seconds for Air United over on the Eyre Peninsula in South Australia.
I would have
Air
loved
United
to have played against you, Tommy. I would have loved it.
You would have cleaned me right up.
No, I wasn't an aggressive player.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
Can
I mean,
we get
like,
you both
on the actual field?
On the field now? Because I'd love to see you like run at each other and just see what happens.
I'm too old now.
No, you're not.
Yep.
Do you know what? I'm also too old. Do you know my best games were when they'd have Colts come up and they would give the Colts a run in the second or whatever, and I'd be on a 16-year-old.
I thought you meant Colts. Like everyone's got their, you know, their Nike sneakers on and their black capes, like a Colt.
Oh, like
sorry. I was like, what do you mean?
Isn't it funny where Loggy's mind goes?
Yes. It's funny, but in a scary kind of way.
Tom and Loggy's podcast, K-Rock 955.
Time for the best and fairest. Now, this is something we started doing last week.
It is, yes.
For the first time. And instead
I've been thinking about it, Tommy, honestly. And I know we've got the Xena vest and those sort of things, but thinking the vest could even go down the lines of, you know, the old school when you used to sort of dress up and put the black tie on and you'd put the Put the vest on?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the cummerbund? Is that what it's called?
No, it's called a vest.
Oh. hence the fact you're talking about a vest.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
The cummerbund's a little bit lower, isn't it?
Oh, right.
I've never worn
okay.
a cummerbund.
No.
Have you?
No, but can you stop saying it?
No.
You're making me nervous.
Okay, very good. I used to wear the character tie. You know, back that was hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway, like Looney Tunes.
My mind
ones?
Goes there, but
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what we can come up with as the year goes on.
So that could be the prize for the yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if
it's
anybody,
like the gold jacket in you know, or the green jacket in the golf.
Yeah. You can make a gold vest.
We could have the
all right.
The best and fairest.
Don't make any promises you can't keep.
If only,
okay.
If only we knew someone who was good at sewing.
Don't worry, I know someone.
You know,
I know
you got
someone.
You got a guy.
I got a contact.
Okay, so it's 3-2-1.
It is?
Yeah, last week the Cats performed so poorly that you could only find one vote and it was for Isaac Smith. In the meantime, we've got an opener that's been made up for us by Maddie on the Pots and Pans. So this is the first time for all of us hearing this.
Best.
Best and fairest.
Best and fairest. Best.
Nice.
Nice. Angry.
Yes.
Yes.
Happily okay. angry. That's
all
how
right.
we describe you.
Let's go. Big game by the Cats. It really was. I'd love to give their coach a vote for sticking up for them.
You can if you want, mate. No rules.
You can,
Give Scotty a vote.
It's literally your award. So is that one for...
No, it's not.
Okay.
No. I'm going to give one to Mark O'Connor because his job on Lachie Neal was just brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping Lachie Neal, Brownlow medalist, to 16 possessions, no influence on the game whatsoever. And Mark had an actual fairly big influence on the game as well with ball in hand. So one vote to Mark. Two votes to Joel Selwood from the outset.
Mm-hmm.
You look to we always go to the skipper and how he's going to perform after round one and what happened. And I think he heard that no one got votes. And he's going, well, I've got to just put the team on my shoulders and move forward.
It's all about the best and fairest.
It is about that. And he's one that definitely stood up. So he had an unbelievable game, a couple of goals. But his first quarter really did set the tone for the way Geelong played throughout the game. And three goes to another Irishman. We love him, Zach Tuohy.
What a superstar.
Absolute star. Played a ripper of a game. Played a bit everywhere, back, midfield and forward. And kicked a couple and played an awesome game. So 3-2. He just needs to work on. He did a little handball over to Sean Higgins, who then went over his head and then had to do a really classy handball to get back to him to kick his second goal. And that was deliberate from Zach. He wanted to loop it over so he could get it back, but he missed it. So he's got to work on that because he's just I suppose, a little bit cautious in the way that he went about that.
Sure.
He's just got to have the confidence.
Sure.
If I'm going to get it back,
Just
got to make sure I hit that target and away I go.
Execute.
Back yourself, like you'd say, Tom.
Yes.
Back yourself, but execute. If you're going to try and do something, make sure you do
you'd
it right.
You'd be a good little coach. That's
you would. He pumps me up every day, Jono. Every day.
Just Matt. And I'm always working behind the scenes, too. Yeah. That's just, you know, you don't need to tell people happening. It's just, it just happens, Matt.
See, that's what makes a really good motivator.
That's not why I do it.
Is what you're doing while others aren't watching.
That's right.
Yes, the little one percenters.
You can't see. You can only see me from the waist up here at the desk, but you don't know. My little legs under here are just going a mile a minute.
Okay, underneath. The iceberg.
Can I leave you two to it?
can I nickname you the iceberg?
The iceberg, I am ice cold. I am ice cold, and I am also shaped like an iceberg physically. Thanks for your time, Jono. We'll catch you next Monday.
See you guys.
Tom and Long. Tom and Loggy's podcast, K-Rock 955.
I want to send a shout out to everyone in the hospo industry, right? I used to work hospo. Well, at a takeaway place, and I'd serve food. So
hospo.
Is that class as
hospo?
It's hospo.
I'll pay it.
Man, when you work hospo, it's fairly likely you're going to have a big stack, either once in your career or multiple times.
Sure.
And it's fairly likely you're going to be holding stuff when that stack happens. And I saw one of the all-time stacks on Friday night.
Amazing.
It was at this place I went out in Altona. I won't name it. But I went out in Altona for a drink and some dinner with some mates. And so it's like a two-story place, right? So we're upstairs there. And one of the waitresses had a serving holder plate, serving drinks plate.
A tray? Sorry, I assumed that it must be something that wasn't a tray. That was
it is a tray.
Harder to think.
No, thank you. This is why I love you. She had a tray.
Yeah.
Right?
She was carrying a tray with drinks.
Carrying a tray with drinks.
Yeah.
And they look like Aperol spritzers.
Ooh,
so
nice.
No harm done here. Yeah. But because they are just...
Oh, you don't like Aperol, do you?
Oh, no. Get stuff, spritz.
You're not getting that out of your clothes, that's for sure.
So she was walking to obviously deliver them to a table, and she stacked and stacked hard.
Okay.
She slipped, bang, and the drinks went up and smashed everywhere. The whole place just turned and looked.
Yeah, of course.
And I went to get up. Yeah. My mate's like, no, it's all right.
It's none of your business.
Yeah, but I was just like,
you
this
feel so
poor
bad. So
girl. I'm like, are you all right?
Take us through the stack. Where was she walking? Was she walking upstairs, downstairs?
No.
Like
so we're
that?
All upstairs, right?
Yeah.
She's walking from the bar that we were sitting directly in front of the bar, and it's just like a long room, say that, right?
Mm.
Bar, tables, bit of space where the stairs come up, more tables, okay? She stacked it in between like the first bit of tables and the second bit of tables.
So where
right?
the stairs are.
Kind of where the stairs are, where the entrance is, and stacked, oh man, hard. So yeah, I was like, my first reaction was to get up, like, has anyone got a towel?
Yeah.
You know? And then my mate's like, it's all right, mate, that's just, it's all good. And I felt really bad, and I was like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm like, oh God, I'm so, and then, but then you, it's hard because you don't want to, you know. Anyway, I thought that was the worst. So me, because I've got a bit of anxiety, sometimes when things set me off, it's a bit hard to calm down.
Sure, okay.
Because I'm already at this top level.
Yeah.
Always, normally. Mm. So when something scares me, it's like, whoa.
You go right off the charts.
Very excited, catching up with my best mate. So I was already kind of
jazzed right up. Yeah.
But I had a full vision. I was facing it, so I saw it all and
unfold.
I was like, oh, damn. Anyway.
She trip on her feet or what?
Well, no, that's not the worst part, right? Okay. So that's happened.
Yeah.
Then she's at the back of the bar. No one's really rushing to clean this up.
Okay.
Right?
So there's spritz everywhere.
Spritz everywhere. See you later, Aperol spritz. No one cares. Throw it in the bin, right?
Okay. But we got it, mate. We heard you the first time.
But so anyway, everyone gets on with their lives. And I'm just kind of like, is someone going to clean up this? Okay, whatever.
Mm.
Get on with our lives. 5 minutes later, a waitress from downstairs comes up the stairs.
Oh, amazing. Tell me.
Mate,
tell me.
It was one of, like, I'm talking movie, like, you need to get in the extras, the people. Who are the people that do the scenes that are dangerous?
No. Stuntmen?
Stuntmen!
Oh, my God.
Damn, I'm sorry.
Have you been drinking Aperols?
Oh, mate. Stuntman style, flip up in the air. Underneath her, you could hear, whoop, 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 whoop. Oh, mate. And
so
she
both legs up and she'd land on her
sacked.
Ass. Wow.
And everyone went, and I was just like, you know what? I have to leave or have more drinks because I can't calm down.
Or. So did that first girl come running out, like when the second girl fell over? Or?
Yeah, someone else came out and I kind of was like, mate, that's your fault. That's on you. But then again, maybe she had a broken ass. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was...
what are the chances? Clean up.
Sorry, I
yourself.
Couldn't think of the word tray.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I don't know what's more concerning, the tray or the stuntman one.
Tom and Loggie's podcast, K-Rock 955.
Friday is washing day at my house because I get home from work lunchtime, crack a beer, put my headphones in, my podcasts on, and I just do the washing.
Nice. Basketball podcasts?
Yeah, always. So that's kind of how my Fridays unfold, and this Friday just gone. I did actually go out for lunch, but then I got home and did all the aforementioned gear and did some washing, and the clothes came out of the wash with these like little brown flecks of like, I don't know, gross kind of mushy stuff on them.
Oh, like sticky.
Yeah, it wasn't so much sticky. It was just like, like just black, like brown, kind of dirty, kind of.
Like greasy kind of.
Yeah,
dirt.
Bit of.
Okay.
Bit of get it.
Like what kind of system are you rolling there?
We're rolling a top loader.
Okay.
And it's not a new one, certainly. It's one that's been passed from like sibling to sibling.
They're the best ones. They last forever.
Like, they do, yeah. It's, we've had it for years. Anyway, it's great. And sometimes the agitator in the middle where you put the fabric softener in gets a little bit dirty, and I've cleaned that out before. Like put my arm down there and give it a scrub.
I love how you mention it as the agitator.
Because
that's what you are.
You're right. So I was like, oh, God, it must be getting gross in there again.
Mm.
So I took the lid off, I cleaned the little lid, and I put my arm down there and cleaned that out, and then did another load. And that didn't fix it. Still these like little brown flakes, almost like you know, if you've been, if you get a fish tank that gets gross, it's got, you know, that slime,
yeah.
It's like slime, like little bits of browny kind of gross slime. I was like, God, okay, well, maybe I haven't cleaned it thoroughly enough.
Mm.
I was like, okay, I look back down in the agitator. I was like, oh, there's a little kind of knob thing at the bottom that you can twist.
Yeah.
So I've twisted it and the whole agitator's come out.
Yeah.
So I take the little knobby thing out and then I take the full shaft of the agitator.
Yeah.
And lift it out of the washing machine. And I look in the underside of it and it is like completely brown, moldy, gross, rotten crap. There's a little bit of like, you know, those stringy thing, like bits of string, the like flyaways that might have come off, but it's literally mainly just mold and kind of everywhere. And then I look down into the machine and there's the same caked around the bottom where the agitator would sit on top of.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a whole like culture of some sort of moldy, festy crap in there.
Dude.
And I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, have you ever run a clean cycle? Like, do you ever like do a clean?
Because you know, with washing machines and dishwashers, they'll sell you like the finished dishwasher cleaner or washing machine cleaner. You know,
yeah.
But isn't it supposed to clean itself? It's a cleaning machine.
Yeah, but no. So I like that's only because I'm weird like that. So it's like your vinegar and your bicarb. Don't put them together before you put them in there.
No,
that's one lesson I learned the wrong way. Right? Don't put them together, but. That's how you kind of clean. You could put some essential oils in there.
So before, well, before I took it out, I poured bleach in there. And even then after, once I found all the, I poured bleach in, a bit of water, obviously, not just pure bleach. Maybe I should have gone pure bleach.
It's probably like clothing material and body grime that has been passed down from generation to generation through your family.
And yeah, just like mold from maybe the water stays down in the bottom there and it doesn't actually drain away. Anyway, so I cleaned it all out, right?
Oh, good boy.
But I had to spend like, I don't know, an hour or more in the backyard just sitting down on the concrete with an old toothbrush.
Yeah.
Trying to get into all the nooks and crannies to get all the gunk out. So just everybody, just beware, particularly if you've got a top loader. But I think even front loaders in the rim around the door, you get the gross mold.
Yeah,
builder.
I get that. Yeah, you get
it. Sure, it's a cleaning machine. Here's what I learned. It's a cleaning machine, but it doesn't clean itself. You think it's going to clean itself, it doesn't clean itself.
You pay more for that.
You have to clean it.
Yeah.
Yourself. Old Dom and Long. K-Rock.